Father, we thank you for this day, this wonderful day that you have made. And Lord, that we are able to gather together as the body of Christ, as believers, as believing believers who believe and trust in your word, Father, and what you're doing in each and every one of our lives and as the body of Christ as a whole. Father, I also uplift my fellow pastors and all the different congregations that are in service this morning. I pray, Lord, that the anointing upon their lives will increase even greater. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit will have his way and his will to do as he pleases and delights to do in the body of Christ as a whole. So, Father, I thank you. And Lord, that supply and provision will be provided to be able to meet the need and the vision that you place within the hearts of the fivefold ministry throughout this island, and that they'll be able to touch the needs of the community, not only spiritually, but also physically as well, to meet the needs of the people in their community. And that each and every church and congregation is so vital to the places that you have planted them, and so are we, Lord. And together we are able to establish and progress the kingdom of God here on this earth. And Father, we thank you, we bless you, and everyone say
amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have your Bible, I pray that you do. Just lift up your Bible and let's make our declaration this morning. Amen. Declare this and believe it in your heart. I'm a believing believer. I am here. I'm all in for God. I'm attentive. And my mind is alert. My spirit is full of the presence and the power of God. I'm a carrier of the glory of God. I am a walking temple of God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, my body is full of energy, full of life, because I live my life full of God's word, and full of God's Spirit. I want what God has for me today. And I won't leave here without it. I will hear the word, and I'll heed the word. Because something supernatural and wonderful is about to happen to me. Change is about to take place. My mind is about to be renewed. Now, if you really believe that, give God a shout of praise. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, we do. We're believing believers, right? We believe what God says, and therefore we do it. Praise God. Turn with me. Let's see where we're going to go. Turn with me to the book of John. And We're gonna look at chapter 16, verse 33. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Say praise the Lord when you find it. Glory. And my Bible shows it's red letters, so it's telling me Jesus speaking, right? In John 16, 33, Jesus says this, these things I have spoken to you. And he's speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to us right now as well. And he says that in me, in your relationship with me, in your communion with me, right? In your fellowship with me, in me, you may have peace. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful promise, right? In me, you may have peace. He's speaking to his disciples. But he says also, he says, in the world, notice that, in the world, you will have tribulations or trouble. And then he goes on, he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Now, if you read that whole chapter, he's preparing his disciples that he's soon fulfilling his purpose, and that his purpose was he was born to die. Amen. And the purpose, his purpose was to die for the sins of mankind. And what he's doing is he's preparing his disciples. He's giving them a heads up. This is the things that's going to happen. And when these things happen, I'm going to go back to my Father, right? And upon them hearing that news, they're troubled because they've been with Jesus for 3.5 years, and Jesus was there all in all. I mean, whenever they got into a situation, Jesus was there to fix the problem. Whenever they got into a conflict with the Pharisees, Jesus was able to give them the answer. So now he's preparing them. He's telling them those things that I've spoken to you, that in me, right, you may have peace. But also in this world, you will have tribulations. But don't worry, be of good cheer. I have overcome these things. Yeah? Now, when Jesus makes this reference in pertaining to the world, he's not using the word cosmos, right? That word cosmos means the universe that pertains to a planet, the world. But what he's making reference to is the world is a fallen system. This world is a fallen system. Amen. It happened when Adam sinned in the garden, right? You guys remember that, right? So when he says this world, he's talking about this system, this fallen system that is controlled by Satan, right? In fact, he makes reference that the God of this world is coming, but he has no power over me. He has no authority over me. Because I've overcome him already, right? And as Christians, as believers, we are no longer part of this fallen world system. Amen. You're not. Christians are not of this world. Jesus said in John 18:36 that his kingdom is not of this world. It's not an earthly kingdom. He says, I'm from above. And if Jesus is from above, guess where you're from? That's right. Because since we've been born again, right, we've changed kingdoms. From the kingdom of darkness, which is ruled by Satan, right? If you weren't born again, believe it or not, you're serving Jesus. You were in the kingdom of the enemy. But when you became born again, you received Christ. How many of you know you changed kingdoms? Yeah, you changed kingdoms. From the kingdom of darkness ruled by Satan into the kingdom of God that ruled by Jesus Christ, right? So since we've been born again, we've changed kingdoms. We're now followers of Jesus Christ. We are of the kingdom of God. Amen? You know, the Bible declares in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says that God he's already did this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, Satan's kingdom. And he has translated us, or we can say he has relocated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. Right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So he has relocated us. He has transferred us from one kingdom into his kingdom. Amen. To Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Right? But now, if you think about that, we're of the kingdom of God. But here's the thing. We still live in this world. Amen. Right? Yeah. Jesus says you are in this world system, but you are not of this system, right? But we're still living in this world, right? How do we live in an unright world, right? And we're surrounded by all the stuff, the craziness, right? The brokenness, the tragedies of this fallen world system that is broken, which is the root cause of it being broken, is sin. Amen. Then sin brings forth spiritual death, sickness, disease, all of these things, right? If it's not dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. But how many of you know that our lives as believers, we don't live that way? Because the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from spiritual death, poverty and lack, sickness and disease. That's what his word says, right? So we are of the kingdom of God. We are people of God's kingdom. And in this kingdom, we live by faith, ruled and governed by the word system, the word of God. Therefore, as believers, we can have and experience true inner peace while we're living in this world of brokenness, of death and pain. Amen. While others are in search of or losing their peace. You know, if you look at that, to have that genuine inner peace that you have when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's a witness and a testimony when friends and co-workers around you are freaking out and reacting to situations that can pretty much rattle and shake, right, someone's state of mind or state of being. Amen. That they'll look at you and you'll be so calm, but they're rattled from those situations. And when I was studying, I remember, maybe you all remember, because it was so prominent and impactful. But how many of you remember the false missile alert that happened back in January 13 of 2018? Remember where you were at that time? You were cleaning the church. I was sleeping. Until I woke up about 8:30, and I noticed outside my window, I mean, cars were just flying. You know, usually when that happens in our neighborhood, we usually have that happen when there's, what is that? Garage sales. Yeah. Mawilani. You know, we have garage sales. So I thought, wow, we have a garage sale this morning? Because, I mean, just you could hear just cars just going. So I looked out the window, and I just saw cars just flying up and down the road, but we didn't have no garage sales. So I thought, that's kind of funny, all these cars just flying. I mean, people just going crazy, you know? Until my daughter texted me, she called me. She had already went to work in Lahaina. And I can tell when something's bothering her. You know, she's real soft. She said, Dad, did you get the text? I said, no, what text? About the missiles. I said, what missiles? So she texted me the whole thing. And the thing said, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. So when I read it, I go, wow. And, I just woke up and my mind was still kind of foggy. But when I read it, I go, nah, it cannot be. You know? But then the more I read it, I go, well, maybe. And I felt this fear come upon me, or try to come upon me. And like most of us, and like most of the people that was driving crazy, I mean, why would you drive? Where would you go? Right? Why not just stay home? But I felt this fear come up from my leg and start working its way, trying to get entrance into your mind, right? You know, the mind is the area of the battle, right? This is where your battle is either won or lost in your mind, your thoughts. And all I said was, well, Lord, if that's true, then this is what I'm going to do. And I think I shared this with y'all. I grabbed my Bible. I opened to Psalms 91. I looked out the window. And I said, he that dwelleth, Father, your word says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I read the whole scripture, that whole thing. Close it up, and I said, that's it. Amen. And then only 38 minutes later, another follow-up came up, and there was found there was an accidental alert that was issued. But the point I want to make was that had caused mayhem, panic, confusion, fear. In fact, watching the news, there were several people on Oahu had to have ambulance while they were driving, and driving wherever they were had heart attacks on the road because of it. Amen. You know. But Jesus says, in me, you can have peace.
Amen.
Amen. So as believers, while we live in this world, you know, we can keep our heads and keep our cool while others are losing theirs. In John chapter 14, 27, the Passion Translation says, I leave the gift of peace with you, which is my peace, right? Jesus, is known as the Prince of Peace, right? In fact, Isaiah 26 says he keeps us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. But he says, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. And he goes on, he says, don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Amen. And he goes on, he says, remember what I told you, that I must go away, but I promise to come back to you. So if you truly love me, you will be glad for me, since I am returning to the Father, who is greater than I. So when all these things happen, you will still trust and cling to me. Amen. So this morning's message, I would like to entitle it, Courageous Peace. Everybody say, Courageous Peace. Jesus said, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile, weak, having no substance peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or trouble in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Everybody say, be courageous. You know, the other couple of days ago, I was watching Joyce Myers. How many of you watch Joyce Myers? And one of her program, she said, I was watching, and she said, she made a statement. And it literally gave me a spiritual shot in my spirit, man. I mean, I just got excited. And what she said was, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's moving forward even when you feel afraid. Amen. See, when fear is present and we're afraid, right? We pray for courage. God, give me courage to oppose this fear of being afraid. Amen. And she goes on and says, if you do that, God will lead you with his peace straight through your fears and into his perfect will for your life. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that encouraging? Let me repeat that again. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's moving forward even when you feel afraid. And if you do that, God will lead you with his peace straight through your fears and into his perfect will for your life. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
Amen. Before her death, advice columnist Ann Landers. How many of you read her articles? I used to read her articles many, many years ago. Used to come into Maui News. Ann Landers. Every month, she would receive approximately about 10,000 letters from people asking for advice on all different topics and situations. And one of the questions was asked, if you could choose what you want most in life, what would you ask for? What would you ask for? If you could choose what you want most in life, what would you ask for? And the most common answer and response was peace. Peace. Interesting, peace is not something you can buy. I mean, in talking about genuine, true inner peace, you can buy it. You cannot buy it. A doctor was giving the wife instructions of her husband he had just seen. The conversation went like this. The doctor, madam, after seeing your husband, he absolutely needs rest and peace. So here's a prescription for a few sleeping pills. Wife, doctor, when should I give it to him? Doctor, they're for you. Now, when we're talking about peace, inner peace, it would be fair to say that there isn't a person alive on this planet Earth who has not faced some kind of trouble or a distress situation that has tried to steal and rob them of their peace. Amen. What I want to talk about is a peace of mind and inner peace of heart. Let me remind you, Jesus said, in me, you may have peace, but in this world, you will have trials and tribulations. Think about it. In this world, the uncertainties that exist due to the problems and the devastation that COVID has done, the lockdowns, the mandates, the deaths, all of the crisis within this one crisis, the divorce rate, the drug addictions, the alcoholism, the divorce rate, all of these things, all these other crises was done because of this one crisis, and it affected many, many lives in this world. Even the recent political elections have caused much trouble and unrest in the world, in our nation, and even locally, causing a shortage of this elusive thing we call peace. Amen. Peace seems like it's elusive. The truth is, we all want peace, right? In our individual lives, our marriages, right? Our families, our workplaces, our church, right? Our community, our country, our world. Amen. We all want peace. But Jesus said, I want to remind you, in me, you can have peace. In your relationship with me, you'll find peace when you read my word. Yeah. The Passion Translation of John 16:33 says, and everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you rest. You know, when I think about that, in me will be, the peace will be in me and will be in you and will give you rest. How many of you ever saw a mom with her baby in a public place? And there's people walking by, strangers walking by, but that baby is just sleeping with no worries, no cares. To me, that's the epitome of peace. You don't find an adult sleeping in a public place. Because, especially if you snore, right? You'd be embarrassed. You'd be so conscious, right? But a baby has no idea of those things. He has no worries. The baby has no worries, has no concerns. So the baby just sleeps wherever. As long as he's in mama's arms or daddy's arms, he or she is safe. And just close his eyes and just sleep. So everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and it'll give you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. Webster defines peace as a freedom of mind from annoyance, distractions. Peace is tranquility, serenity, silence, or stillness. Peace is a freedom from strife or dissension. It's the absence of mental stress or anxiety. Interesting, the word of God, or the word peace, is found 400 different verses, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. 400 verses pertaining to peace. It tells me that peace was an important matter to God for us to know, to have in our lives, so that we can live our lives free from anxiety and stress and all these other things. Because there are things that we consider, you know, to be valuable to us in this world, right? How many of you know God doesn't mind we having things as long as these things don't have us, right? But there are things that we deem valuable to us in life, such as having a house or a home, right? For shelter, for living. Having a car for transportation, to getting around, right? Having money to buy things or provision or whatever we can buy that we have need of, right? Our relationships, our families, you know, our marriages, our friends, right? Our co-workers, our church family as well. Having camaraderie and togetherness, right? But how important these things are. If we were to compare these things in the light of who God is, that he is our all in all, right? He's our El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. He's our Heavenly Father who loves, who cares, right? Who hears, who provides, who protects, who heals, delivers us, right? Amen? Amen. And how blessed and precious and valuable that relationship that we have with him and he with us, then really, we should easily come to the conclusion that these things, what we drive, our homes, right? The money, the provision, all of these things, quote, we call necessities, really, really fall short in comparison to him. You follow what I'm saying? Because didn't Jesus say, right? And I'm paraphrasing, in John 6:32-33. Don't worry. Don't get agitated or anxious. Don't lose sleep over the things that you eat, drink, or wear. These are things that the unbelievers consider to be necessities for them. But he tells us to what? First, what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that we think are necessities will be added to us. Amen. But to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But if you really think about it, the real reason we feel the need for these things is really for our peace of mind. Because if our car is not working, we get agitated. Amen. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I jumped into my truck, turned the key, didn't start. It just clicked. I didn't freak out. I said, well, the battery's dead. Took it off, went to Napa, bought a new one, put it in, done. Amen. But I think sometimes when we think about these things that we value, right, it's really for our peace of mind. And when I say peace of mind, I'm talking about P-E-C-E, peace, and not P-I-E-C, peace. You know, there's a big difference between the two words, especially when we're talking about our state of mind. Amen. Some turn to other things in order to obtain peace. A man said, my therapist told me the way to achieve true inner peace is to finish what I start. So I took his advice to heart. So far today, I finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake, and I feel better already. How many of you know the world will offer you a peace that is fragile to many forms of what we call escapes from escape? Peace by self-medication, by taking drugs, alcohol, food, through immoral relationships, constant entertainment. Peace is sought through all forms of pleasure, of self-satisfaction. And many believe that peace is defined as the absence of trouble, refusing to face the problems in their lives. So they self-medicate themselves and avoid the problems, believing that this is finding inner peace for themselves. However, the world has never known or held the answer of true inner peace. They don't. Jesus says, I leave you the gift of peace, my peace, not the fragile kind of the peace from the world, but the peace that is from me. As I mentioned earlier, peace is the absence of mental stress or anxiety, the freedom of mind from annoyance, distractions, and anxiety. Yet there are some who live their lives on the edge with a continued chip on their shoulders, and you might have one of those in your family. They're edgy, they're snappy, and they give in and give up their peace of mind, which they shouldn't, they can't afford to. By letting small, mundane things affect and cause them to flip out, go into an uproar and a tailspin, which is totally unnecessary. And besides, God never intended us to live that way, in that kind of life. God wants us to live in peace, have peace of mind, right? You guys receiving something this morning? Yeah? You know, there's a story I read. Two artists who had set up out to paint a picture that would capture and represent the ideal essence of what perfect peace is. The first artist painted a canvas of a little boy sitting in a boat in a little lake where the surface was so calm without a single ripple. The other artist painting a raging waterfall with the winds whipping and spraying all around. But on a limb overhanging the raging water, a bird had built her nest and sat peacefully brooding on her eggs. In the midst of all this calamity going on, here she is in her nest, brooding on her eggs. What a wonderful sight of peace, right? You see, peace of God is not the absence of fear or trials. Rather, it is the result of remaining cool, calm, and collected in the midst of your trials and trouble. We know that the opposite of peace is anxiety and worry, especially when we're faced with dire circumstances, right? And we've all been there. But what we need to understand is that worry will not change one thing. And furthermore, it doesn't work. It's a waste of energy and a waste of time. It's a waste of your time and your energy. Worry cannot change the past, nor can it control your future. And it only takes, and the only thing that worry does is it makes you miserable. In fact, statistics tells us that 80% of the things that people most worry about don't even happen. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, don't worry. Be happy. Yeah. I think I heard that someplace in a song, right? But he had a truth there. Don't worry, be happy. Because 80% of the things people worry about don't even happen. Now, as I said, worry is a waste of time. It only robs you of your inner peace. Amen. Worry steals your peace, or tries to. You see, worrying about a problem never solves anything. It only does one thing, keeps you in turmoil, in distress, and unrest, which is the total opposite of true peace. The Passion Translation to John 16:33, you can just listen. He said, and everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you. And you will have great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you experience trouble and sorrows, but you will be courageous, for I have conquered the world. The word says we can have true, genuine peace. True peace doesn't come from man, nor does true peace come from this world. Because Jesus says in this world, you have trials. But true peace comes only from God. Only from God. This peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, spoken in Galatians 5:22. Yeah, when you receive Christ, right? That fruit, the life of Christ, the Holy Spirit came in. He brought in that fruit inside of you. You just have to recognize that that peace, that fruit is already in you. Amen. And as you read the word, it'll confirm that peace that is inside of you. And when you spend time with God, when you spend time in His Word and you begin to acknowledge Him, there's a confidence and a peace that comes within you that God loves you and God cares for you and He'll provide for you. No matter what you face with, there comes a peace within you that, you know what, I'll be okay. It is well with my soul. Yeah, it is well with my soul. Because Father God loves me, He cares for me, He protects me, He'll keep me, right? This peace means to be in Christ, in harmony, bound and joined together with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It means to be assured of, confident of, and secure in His love and care of His care. There's a deep knowing. You know. Right? Because of your relationship that you have with Him. So there's a knowing. There's a confidence. There's a sure trust that God will always provide, guide, strengthen, sustain, encourage, deliver, and save completely those who seek Him first with all of their hearts. This supernatural peace comes from receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Which in turn positions us to be with peace with God. See, in order to have the peace of God, we have to first be at peace with Him. In our relationship with Christ, Christ made us, He positioned us to be peace with Him. And therefore, we can have the peace of God because of we qualify as children of God to receive His peace, His shalom, nothing missing and nothing broken, right? And from receiving that peace, having peace with God and receiving His peace, then we can operate in the peace that surpasses all understanding, that have no explanation. You can be going through a situation, but you just sense the peace of God. You can be calm. Amen. Like I said, we can be a witness and testimony. When things are getting out of hand, we can be at rest because we are in peace with God. And therefore, God gives us the peace that surpasses. You cannot explain it. In fact, let me end with this. In Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 to 9. Let me end with this in the Passion Translation. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, I'm reading from the Passion. You can just listen. He said, don't be pulled in different directions. And that's where that word worry comes from, being scatterbrained or pulled on all different directions. That's what that word worry means. He said, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude, giving Him thanksgiving. Yeah. Tell Him every detail of your life. God wants to know every detail of your life. Amen. We as parents, we want to know every detail of our children's life, right? When our children begin to get a little bit older, right, teenagers, right? They begin to have boundaries. They put up things on their door. Stay out, keep out. But it doesn't deter me. I just still go in because I feel it doesn't pertain to me. And when I go in, I go, Dad, did you read the sign? Oh, I don't know. I just came in. But he says, tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God. How many of you know you are a glorious work of God in the making? Amen. Yes, you are. Not only is God doing glorious work on the earth through the body of Christ, through His people, but He's also doing a glorious work within your life as well. So when you look in the mirror, you get ready. Wow, check out that glorious work that God is doing. Amen. Talk to yourself. Praising Him always. We talked about praising God, right? Right? The spirit of praise, right? For the garment of heaviness, right? Because praise, God inhabits His praises. And He talks about the sacrifice of praise, right? When you don't feel like praising God because of what you're going through or what you're feeling or what you face, that is the time to praise God. Amen. And that's why He calls it a sacrifice of praise. Because you got to lay your flesh down despite of what you're feeling, the emotions that you're feeling, which are real, and just say, God, I'm going to praise You by faith. And when I praise you by faith, your presence, you're going to inhabit these praises that I'm giving unto you because it's a sacrifice to you. And God recognizes that. Amen. Praising him always, following the example of all we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Amen. He will be with you in all things, at your workplace, when you're at the marketplace, when you're visiting with friends and families, wherever. Taking a plane and flying to Oahu. Amen. You got to go through all that. The loops and holes that make you to fly on the plane. Right? But here's the thing. Even though that has to happen, the peace of God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. And if the peace of God is with you, how many of you know the peace of God will keep you? He'll keep you in that place of stillness, of calmness, right? So we talked about courageous peace. What a time that we have need of, the times that we're living in. Amen. Our nation needs courageous peace. Yeah. So we as the body of Christ need to continue to lift our nation up and the leaders and pray for the peace of God over their minds and hearts. Pray for the peace of Israel. Amen. Never forget the nation of Israel. Because we know that whatever happens in Israel affects the whole world as well. Amen. And as the body of Christ, as Christians, we're connected. That's where Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was born, from the Jewish nation. Amen. You received the word this morning? Well, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning and for the word that we can receive and have the peace of God upon our lives. We're so grateful, Lord, for the promises of God are yes and amen to them that believe. And Lord, we thank you that peace is something that only comes from you through our relationship with you, Lord. It doesn't come from the world, doesn't come from anything else, but it comes from you. Peace is not something that we're trying to obtain, but peace is something that we already have. We have been made peace with you. And therefore, we have received the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, which our natural physical abilities cannot understand it. But it's something that we receive and believe by faith. So we thank you, Lord, for anyone that is going through a situation or faced with situations this morning. Father, I speak peace to each and every heart and mind. Just as Jesus stood upon the boat in the midst of the storm, and he said, "Peace, be still." And Lord, the storm was calmed and the wind stopped. And that is what I say to the one whose heart and there's a storm that is raging within. I say, "Peace, be still," in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we can cast all our cares upon you, for you cared for us, and that you perfect everything that concerns us because we trust in you, and that you keep our minds in perfect peace, your peace, Lord, as we keep our minds stayed and fixed on you, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we be reminded wherever we go, that the peace of God is with us. I ask in Jesus' name, and everyone say, Amen. Amen.